That's an important number because while the 14.5 million is big, what you really want to know here in Virginia is that more than 300,000 of those Americans are Virginians who now have health insurance and the peace of mind that comes from knowing you can take your child to a hospital without going bankrupt because of the bill. The President's American Rescue Plan, which Congresswoman Spanberger helped get across the finish line, helped lower the average monthly premium on those insurance policies by 26% for those Virginians. That's more money staying in your pocket because you're hardworking Americans and you deserve it. In fact, thanks to the President's American Rescue Plan, 4 in 5 people in America who recently signed up for the health insurance offered under the Affordable Care Act could find a health plan where they paid $10 or less per month in premiums. $10 a month in premiums. Now that's a good deal. The President also has us hard at work fighting to lower the cost of the prescription drugs that you use day in, day out, and that you need. He's heard the stories from Americans in every corner of our country. Americans like Alex Smith in Minnesota, who couldn't afford the medication he needed. Alec, a 26-year-old father, died after trying to ration his insulin because he was trying to make ends meet. We pay too much for prescription drugs in America. On average, about $1,500 per person. And if you're saying to yourself right now, hey, I don't use prescription medication, so I don't have any of those costs. Well, just think how much your uncle or your neighbor must be paying so that when taken together, it adds up to an average of $1,500 a year for each and every one of us in America. We pay more than any comparable nation for our life-saving medications. You know what that means? Well, price gouging means Americans face impossible choices. Refill your gas tank or refill your prescription medication. Get life-saving meds or keep a roof over your family's head. When Alex Smith's mother testified before Congress, she said, "This should never happen, and I am counting on all of you to help make sure it does not happen to another family." That's why last fall, we rolled out a comprehensive plan to lower prescription drug prices through real competition, negotiating for the best price, and sparking new, innovative treatments. Our work isn't finished. And it takes all of us, because we know healthcare is not just about mending bones or dispensing pills. It's about giving people peace of mind. So, thank you, President Biden. Thank you for keeping your promise to make healthcare more affordable and for giving Americans a chance to secure the peace of mind they deserve. Now, of course, none of our progress would be possible without strong leadership in Congress. That's why I'm proud to introduce our next speaker. Abigail Spanberger came to Congress to protect Americans' access to affordable health care. Like me, she knows that raising 3 daughters means providing the health, the safety, and the chance to thrive to our children. And for the past 3 years, she has advocated for bipartisan healthcare solutions that achieve real progress and respond to the unique challenges of rural communities in America. Please join me today in welcoming your Congresswoman, Abigail Spanberger.
Hello, my name is Abigail Spanberger, and I am proud to serve Virginia's 7th District each and every day in Congress. On behalf of our district, I'd like to welcome President Biden and his team to Culpeper County. Welcome to our Commonwealth, Mr. President. Thank you, Secretary Becerra, for your introduction, and thank you for your attention to the rising cost of prescription drugs. I look forward to working closely with you in the future. Thank you to Mayor Reeves and members of the Culpeper Town Council for being with us today. Today, I am proud to bring the President of the United States here to one of the campuses of Germana. Mr. President, this institution does tremendous workforce training, and they truly have a heart for not just the careers of their students, but also for their well-being. If anyone in your administration has questions about how to get the next generation prepared and to how to keep our country competitive, I would encourage them to look no further than this place. Throughout the pandemic, places like Culpeper have looked out for their neighbors. People have banded together, and they've supported small businesses, first responders, police, and healthcare workers, all of whom make our community stronger. We have seen tremendous progress in the battle against this virus, but even in the midst of this moment of recovery, our communities still struggle with the sticker price of many items, including and especially at the pharmacy counter. COVID has exacerbated what was always already a staggering day-to-day cost for Virginia families, and we are long overdue in addressing it. Today is about bringing renewed focus and, more importantly, urgency to lowering drug prices. Since I first ran for Congress, this issue has been top of mind for my constituents. They are outraged that in the United States of America, they have to pay 10 times as much or more as patients in other countries pay for the same medication. For our neighbors with common health conditions like diabetes, heart disease, or cancer, I consistently hear about how skyrocketing drug prices are making it harder to stay ahead and harder to plan for the future. I hear about delayed payments on rent or the mortgage. I hear about parents sitting at the dining room table and deciding whether they should drain their child's education fund to help pay for their child's medication. And I hear from seniors who are skipping a meal because they cannot afford the medication they need to survive. These are the personal experiences of Virginians, of the Virginians I represent. But if you were to throw a dart anywhere on the map of the United States, you would hear these exact same stories. Part of our recovery means stopping these stories from remaining a common refrain. In Congress, I welcome any effort that can deliver lower drug prices for the people I serve. It is worth our time. Because giving Medicare the power to negotiate drug prices and giving Virginians peace of mind about an aging parent or relative, that is worth our time. And capping the price of insulin so that kids can just be kids and not have to worry about another trip to the ER, that is worth our time. And holding drug companies and PBMs accountable for increasing the prices that cancer patients pay, all behind a shroud of secrecy, that is worth our time. And lawmakers have spent a lot of time talking about lowering drug costs. And we know the American people are behind this push, but we need to buck up and get it done. The Virginians who are with us today have their stories of how high drug costs have impacted them. And Congress needs to demonstrate that we are not just listening to them, not just talking to them, but we are delivering for them. And now I have the honor of introducing one such 7th District family with a powerful story. Shannon Davis is a dedicated teacher, and she's here with her son, Joshua. And for the record, Joshua is one of the bravest constituents I have ever met, and he's already becoming one of the strongest advocates on this issue, meeting with our office, calling for changes to practices of drug middlemen, and speaking out on behalf of kids like him with type 1 diabetes. If we all displayed the leadership and the maturity of Joshua, I think we'd be able to tackle way more challenges than just the rising cost of prescription drugs. I am proud to know the Davis family, and I am proud to know that they are using their story to bring much-needed attention to out-of-pocket costs and how they are impacting them and their neighbors. It is now my honor to introduce the President of the United States, President Joe Biden, and Shannon and Joshua Davis.
Thank you so much to Congresswoman Spanberger and President Biden for reaching out to us to be able to share our story with you today. Our story represents just one of the millions of Americans who live with chronic illnesses that require life-saving medication every single day. Brian, my husband, was diagnosed at the age of 28 with type 1 diabetes. previously known as juvenile diabetes, an autoimmune disease that stops your body from creating insulin. At 28 years old, that was such a surprise for a young couple married to realize that Brian would need this insulin for the rest of his life. This quickly became overwhelming when Joshua, our second child, was diagnosed before his first birthday. At the time, we had no idea how the prescription and medical costs would impact our future as a family. We are extremely privileged that we have maintained insurance for the last 17 years. However, even with insurance, we currently spend between $6,000 and $7,000 a year. That is just our insulin cost. This does not include the insulin pump supplies, emergency glucagon, monitoring, or test strips. We have worked hard over the last 12 years since Joshua was diagnosed, and we have figured out ways to conserve our insulin when possible. You learn tricks to save money with this life-threatening disease. We will use one vial between Brian and Joshua until its every last drop is gone. We will use insulin after it is expired, even though it's not recommended. And we will push our pump sites just a little bit longer than we should. We will space out when we pick up our new prescriptions, because in January, when our new high deductible has hit, we do not have thousands of dollars to go into the pharmacy and spend that money on our insulin. Everyone's experience is unique, and I have met so many families that have had to skip insulin doses or choose between their house and their electric bills or their child's insulin for the month. Joshua is only 12 years old, and on February 13th, he will have lived with type 1 diabetes for 12 years. And God willing, he will have many more years ahead of him. And in those years, I am hopeful that when he is an adult, as a country, we will have recognized that these crucial medications need to be affordable for all Americans. If insulin costs were capped at $35 per month, this would be life-changing, not only for our family, but for the millions of families impacted by diabetes. I am so thankful for the leaders who are working so hard on behalf of our families and the rest of the Americans to make this a reality. At this time, I would be honored to introduce you to one of my heroes, my son, Joshua Davis.
Thank you for inviting me to share my story. My name is Joshua Davis, and I am 12 years old and in the 7th grade at Swift Creek Middle School in Chesterfield, VA. I am active in Scouts and love playing goalie with my CYL lacrosse team. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 11 months old, so my entire life, this is all I have ever known. And until there is a cure, all I will know. Before getting my insulin pump, I needed 10 to 12 shots of insulin a day. But my insulin pump changed that. But while I am getting older, I also need more insulin every day. I have to be careful with my bottles of insulin because they can break very easily. And, well, I am a 12-year-old boy. It helps that my dad also has type 1 diabetes. He's truly my hero for showing me how to live with type 1 diabetes. I'm thankful that insulin was invented because it is my life support. I don't have a choice whether or not to use it. I lead a very active life, and I don't let type 1 slow me down. I'm thankful that my parents do what they can to make sure I have insulin. Thank you so much to Congresswoman Spanberger and President Biden for all they are doing to make sure I will be able to continue to live safely and actively with affordable insulin. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the President of the United States, President Biden.
Thank you, Mr. President. I could have no more have done that when I was 12 years old than fly. I used to be a stutterer. I was scared to death. I would stand up and talk like that.
and I can't tell you how proud I am of you. And your brother is equally as impressive as you are. He's standing there. He's sitting there two seats over. Shannon and Joshua, and by the way, happy birthday, man. He's going to be 13 years old, teenager, in a couple days. I want you to know that lowering the cost of prescription drugs is one of the reasons why I'm here with Abigail, your congresswoman. And that's what I want to talk about with you today. Lowering the cost of health care overall as well. Lowering the cost of prescription drugs is important, and giving families like yours just a little bit more breathing room makes a gigantic difference. Before I get into that, I want to say it's good to be here at Germana School. And by the way, Abigail, if I want to know anything about community colleges in Virginia, I go to my wife. She teaches full time and has for the last 9 years. She's in the classroom now at Community College in Northern Virginia, Northern Virginia Community College. And as she says, you know, the single best-kept secret in America is community colleges. And it really is. They are so flexible, they can do so much, so much. And if I had more time, which I don't, for all of you, I'd go into what we're going to try to do to increase the flexibility and the funding of community colleges for people. But it's great to be here with Abigail, with Congresswoman Spanberger. And in every chapter of her career, in every chapter, she's always been about one thing, service, service. I also want to thank Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, your senators here, good friends, and worked closely with me on so many things when I was a senator and now as president and when I was vice president. But they needed me in Washington today because there's votes in the Senate. I also want to thank Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra for two things. One, for answering my call and asking him to come and be the secretary. I was worried he wouldn't. And how much he's helped us make so much progress in getting people vaccinated, getting health insurance, and making more affordable health care. Look, health care is part of Abigail, Congresswoman, your congresswoman's background. Back in 2017, she saw her representative in Congress vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act. That was one of more than 100 Republican efforts. There were 100 Republican efforts since we passed it in our last administration to repeal the Affordable Care Act. But she knew that that was the exact opposite of what Central Virginia badly needed. You needed then and you need now more access to quality health care that is more affordable. So when I became President of the United States, that's what we did. We passed the American Rescue Plan, which made quality coverage through the Affordable Care Act more affordable than ever before. With families saving on average, have signed up, family on average, $2,400 a year in their annual premiums. Compared to last year, the average monthly premium for Virginians has gone down more than 25%. Over 5 million people have gained coverage through the ACA since I became president. And as was mentioned by Javier, over 300,000 Virginians have signed up for health insurance during the open enrollment period here in Virginia. And we want to go further. Lowering prescription drug prices, get a cap on the amount people pay on Medicare, pay for prescription drugs, and to bring more clarity and fewer surprises when you get your bills if you've been hospitalized. So let me say a few words about each of these things now. With regard to prescription drugs, in America, we pay the highest prescription drug prices of any nation, developed nation in the world. The highest of any. And it's about 2 to 3 times higher than what other countries pay. Let me give you one example. An anti-cancer drug to treat leukemia and lymphoma costs $14,000 a month in the United States. The same exact drug made by the same exact pharmaceutical company is sold in France, and it's $6,000 a month. $6,000, same exact drug, same exact manufacturer, same exact amounts. Not 14, but 6. That's for a month's supply. Today, 1 in 4 Americans who need prescription drugs struggle to afford them. 1 in 4. Nearly 30% have skipped doses of essential drugs they're supposed to take. Others have simply not filled prescriptions that the doctor had given them, tried to use over-the-counter drugs or pills cut in half because they can't afford the cost of their prescription. This is the United States of America, for God's sake. That's just wrong. It's simply wrong, especially since it doesn't cost the drug companies nearly as much to make the drug or the research that went into them. Let me regress for just a moment here. I started when in the Obama and Biden administration a effort to deal with a cancer moonshot to change the way in which we deal with cancer. And I'm reinstituting that in my administration now. And it was interesting. We had these hearings all over the United States. And one of the major events we did, we used at Howard University, where there were 35 other events going on simultaneously with this. I subsequently met with the heads of, I think it was 13 drug companies. And I asked them, I said, if you found a cure for a particular cancer, how much you think you should be able to charge? And the response universally was what the market will bear. I said, hope I don't get elected president, because that's just not what you'll get. You should be treated more like a utility. You should be able to make a significant progress. Let's add up how much, and like they do in Germany, how much did it cost you, all the research and development, all the effort, add it all up. And then on top of that, add a significant premium for it, a profit of 20% to 30% above that, maybe in some cases more. But the idea you can charge whatever you want is just not going to happen in the United States of America if I have anything to do with it. Even if you think this doesn't affect you, it does, by the way. Everyone has less money in their pockets today because of high drug costs and health insurance. And it's more expensive for everyone. And the reason it is this is what your insurance companies pay. All of you have insurance. You're paying a heck of a lot more even if you're not using the drugs. Over the past decade, healthcare costs have gone up 50%. Prescription drugs are a big chunk of that. And there's a lot of things that almost every American can agree on. But I think it's safe to say that all of us, whatever our background, our age, where we live, whether you're on prescription drugs, look, we all acknowledge they're outrageously expensive. And in many cases, bearing no relationship to cost. Doesn't need to be that way. Josh and Shannon, it costs drug companies less than $10 to make a vial of that insulin, less than 10 bucks. That's what it costs. There's no reason you should be paying over $300 a vial for medicine you need every day to stay healthy and, in many cases, stay alive. As your mom said, you've got to pay $5,600 for prescriptions before your insurance even kicks in. You got to do the deductible. Shannon, you should have peace of mind of knowing that Joshua grows up and leaves your health care plan. He'll be able to choose a job without ever having to make a choice between which one has the particular health care coverage. You know, we're now in a position where we can cap copays for insulin at $35 a month. That's still a staggering profit, 3.5 times what it costs to produce the drug. You can do that with the stroke of a pen. In my Build Back Better legislation that, with Abigail's leadership, passed the House of Representatives, we can do that. Now we just have to get it through the United States Senate. And we're close. We can do even more to lower out-of-pocket prescription costs. Under my proposal, we will hold drug companies accountable for the absurd price increases. Here's how. Drug companies that increase their prices faster than the rate of inflation once the price is set will face a steep tax. This will help us end the days when drug companies can increase their prices with no oversight, no accountability, and no responsibility. We're saying to drug companies, you are finally going to become accountable when you raise prices on the American people. accountability, you're still going to make a significant profit. And we can take additional steps to lower drug costs for people with Medicare, something Abigail has championed. Right now, the only thing Medicare is not allowed to negotiate the price of are prescription drugs. For everything else covered by Medicare, a doctor's visit, they negotiate, say, we'll pay no more than this much for a doctor's visit. So if the doctors don't want to take any Medicare patients, they don't have to. But if they have a Medicare patient, which there are millions of them, they cannot charge more than a certain amount of crutches. We limit the amount of money they can pay for crutches. But, Medicare can negotiate everything except drug prices. The only outfit that can't do it, they can't deal with. My plan is going to allow Medicare to negotiate the prices they're prepared to pay for each individual drug. If the company says I'm not going to sell it to you for that price, fine. But they're going to lose millions of customers. Millions of customers. What we're proposing is that we negotiate fair prices, one that reflects the cost of research and development and the need for significant profit, but still is affordable and has some relationship to the cost of the drug company. My plan also caps the amount that seniors on Medicare have to spend on prescription drugs each year total, so that if they're on Medicare, they'll not have to spend out of pocket more than $2,000 a year, no matter how many drugs they're taking. With drug companies, insurance companies, and medicine and Medicare picking up the rest of the cost. And just last month, to bring greater transparency to healthcare costs, my administration outlawed surprise billing. I've had a significant experience with hospital care. My son Beau was Attorney General of Delaware and won the Bronze Star in Iraq, dealing with being deployed overseas for a long time, for a year. You know, he came back with glioblastoma. He died. But you know what? The fact is that, I was hospitalized a long time. I had a couple of years ago, cranial aneurysms, was hospitalized for a long time. And you can no longer get that surprise billings we got. If your health care plan did not cover a particular doctor, but you didn't even know you were being consulted, you get an extra bill for $2,000 to $5,000, they can't do that anymore. No more surprise billing. No more. Millions of hardworking Americans will no longer have to worry about unexpected medical bills, and Abigail has been making sure that we bring the same transparency to drug prices. A couple years ago, Abigail worked to pass a bipartisan legislation to make drug prices more transparent so you knew what you were paying for. And my administration is working with Abigail to make sure we enforce that. She also has been relentless in making sure the laws that's been on the books that says pharmaceutical companies need to provide rural clinics and community health centers with discounts on prescription drugs, it's actually enforced. We're working together on that as well. I've long said health care should be a right, not a privilege in this country. This isn't a partisan. Diabetes, Alzheimer's, cancer, they're not partisan issues. They're not Democrat or Republican. This is about whether or not you and your loved ones can afford the health care you need and the medicines you need to stay healthy. Because we need to ease the burden on working families by making everything more affordable and accessible. Look, again, slight digression. Inflation is up. It's up. And coming from a family when the price of gas went up, you felt it in the household, you knew what it was like, it matters. But the fact is that if we are able to do the things I'm talking about here, it'll bring down the cost for average families. I don't know why they keep moving all that, but the fact is they keep down the cost for average families. And look, the fact is that we're in a situation now where, you should have peace of mind. I know food prices are up and we're working to bring them down. As I said, I grew up in a family where price at the pump went up, you felt it, and I understand. But these things are necessities. We're working to bring down prices where they're not totally what families, in fact, have to pay now. you still have to pay for child care. Child care is a cost for millions of families. You still have to pay your prescription drug prices. You still have to pay for health care. You want to lower the cost of living for people, help them in those areas. So there's more than one way for a family when it comes to raising their standard of living. I'm going to work like the devil to bring gas prices down, which I'm going to work in to make sure that we keep strengthening the supply chain to bring the cost of energy and everything else and the goods that come to America down by helping the ports 24/7, by changing a whole range of things. That, you know, what's happened with COVID, COVID has caused significant increase in prices in the supply chain. Because when the factory shuts down in another part of the world and you need that particular product in order to finish and build whatever you're working on, the price goes up exponentially, like for cars. But in the meantime, there's a lot we can do to give families extra breathing room. We can do this when we cut the cost of child care, making sure that you don't pay more than 7% of the family's income for child care. It saves thousands of dollars in families, for families. Shannon, think about what these plans would mean for you and your family. We've already made a lot of progress on the economy. Last year, more jobs were created in America than in any year in American history. Unemployment has dropped more than any year in American history. We reduced the deficit, the federal deficit, while doing those, both those things, by $300 billion. We lowered child poverty by nearly 40% in America, more than any year in American history as a consequence of the child tax credit. And we're coming out of these challenges in a position of strength unmatched by any nation in the world. And I might add, and I note here, this law, that this does not raise anyone's, if you're making less than $400,000, you're not paying a single penny more in taxes. Not a single penny more in taxes. And it does not increase the deficit because it's paid for. It's fully paid for. I've had a group of major companies from Intel to General Motors to Ford to across the board come to me and say they want to keep these programs going, increase corporate taxes to 24%, which they were supposed to be. It gets paid for. They understand the net effect on the economy is to grow it. We know that we invest in ourselves. There's no limit to what we can achieve. With leaders like Abigail and the brave folks like Shannon and Joshua, all of you know here today that all this progress we made is going to be just the beginning. Just the beginning. I promise you, we're going to do so much more. And it will not, I emphasize, it will not increase the debt, will not increase taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. And by the way, I'm a capitalist. I'm a capitalist. You should be able to make $1 million or $1 billion. Just pay a little bit of your fair share, that's all. We have over 53 companies in America that made $40 billion last year, didn't pay a single penny in taxes. Not a single penny. It's not right. And so you find a lot of these corporations realize to grow and be competitive, it makes sense just to pay a little more in taxes at the top end in order to afford this economic growth we're creating. But bringing down the cost of health care, bringing down the cost of prescription drugs, is an easy thing for us to do. It can be done legally with a stroke of a pen. We just got to get Abigail's enthusiasm that she got through in the House of Representatives to the United States Senate. So maybe dragging you over to the Senate, spend some time. But all kidding aside, there's so much we can do. And I want to thank the family for being willing to stand up here and share their story. And Dad, stand up so everybody knows who you are. I want them to see you. That good-looking guy back there, that's Dad. Every time I'd walk out of my grandpa's house up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, his name was Ambrose Finnegan. He was an All-American football player out in Santa Clara when he was a kid. And he used to always yell, "Joey, keep the faith." My grandmother would yell back, "No, Joey, spread it. Let's spread the faith and get this done." Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.